Jeremiah 20, verse 9 reads, "If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Hello, and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today, as my guest, who was an invisible guest last week because she was in the background, but she's actually here with a microphone this week. It is my wife, Michaela. Thanks for being here.
It's me. I'm back.
She's back for real, and she has things to say, which is good. So we have been talking about evangelism this quarter, and we talked about reasons we don't evangelize, and then we've been talking about reasons we should evangelize, and we've categorized that in this podcast under three headings. We should evangelize for God, for his glory and love for him. That's main, primary. We should evangelize for others out of compassion for them. And now we have one that I don't know exactly how to put it. I guess it's a little strange to put it this way. But we do it for God. We do it for others. There's a sense in which we evangelize for ourselves. I don't mean it selfishly. What I do mean, well, it will take the rest of this podcast to say. But that's what we're talking about today. I've called it flowing or stagnant. And the reason I call it that is because of a quotation in the Puritan writer John Owen. He is talking more broadly than evangelism. He's talking about the whole Christian life. But he has this picture of the Christian life that I'm going to draw from. It's this picture of a reservoir of water. He says this, quote, "For the mind of man is capable of receiving continual supplies in the increase of light and knowledge, if they are improved unto their proper end, unto obedience unto God. But without this, the mind will be quickly stuffed with notions, so that no streams can descend into it from the fountain of truth." The picture there, more broadly, is of a body of water, like a reservoir, that has an inlet of water going into it. But if it doesn't have an outlet, eventually the water fills the whole space. Without an outlet, you then at some point can't put any more water into it. And I'd go further and say the water there will stagnate, hence the picture here, flowing or stagnant. I want to focus that in. He's talking about obedience in general, but I want to focus that in on evangelism. I think it's very similar. Usually, we are waiting until we feel very spiritual and have a wonderful grasp of the gospel and have had a good day with no problems to share the gospel, because then we are gospel sharers. We're in a gospel sharing mood. However, there is something about the sharing of the gospel as an act of obedience that itself is what makes us spiritual. So instead of waiting to be spiritual, and that's my first question for you, Michaela, is, have you found in the past when you've shared the gospel, or even more recently as you're sharing with our children, that telling the gospel to others has helped you to grasp it yourself?
Yes. I mean, even right now, we had a little bit of a hard day yesterday. So even doing this podcast right now...
You gotta wait till you're so spiritual, yeah.
I mean, I feel a little bit like, do I have anything to offer? Like, am I really the one to talk about the gospel today? Because I did a bad job yesterday, and I don't feel very spiritual right now. But I think in the act of talking about the gospel and thinking about the gospel as you're talking about it, it does something to your heart. It melts it. It causes you to think about it. So even right now, it's helping me right now. Talking about it, even I'm not even sharing the gospel with like an unbeliever even at right now, but like just talking about the gospel does help. I mean, I shared the gospel a lot in college, and I remember specifically one time sitting at the Starbucks at USI with a girl doing the bridge diagram and, you know, asking questions, and I shared the gospel with her, and then I kind of asked her, where do you think you are? What would it take for you to trust in the gospel, to trust in Jesus? And she like just talked about how she's so weary. She's tried everything. How can she? And I remember looking at her and thinking, are you? No, actually, I think I said it out loud. I looked at her and I said, are you tired? Like, are you tired enough to trust in the gospel? Are you weary enough of trying to do good enough, of trying to get enough love from other people and other things? Are you tired enough to trust it? And I walked away to my dorm, and I remember thinking, Michaela, are you tired? Are you tired of trying to do enough to really get a sense of, like, God's favor? And I had trusted in the gospel. I believe the gospel. But even for myself, like, we can fall into that same mentality of feeling like we're working to earn God's love or to keep his love or, you know, fill in the blank for whatever your struggle is. But for myself, it was, I want to do enough to where it, God knows I'm thankful enough for the gospel, or that I've like done enough to make it seem I'm worth saving. And so I remember walking away and thinking, I think that was for me, because I am tired. I need to trust the gospel. I need to believe the gospel. So, I mean, even in college, and then actually the other day talking to my kids, it was almost the same conversation, just a little bit different because it's kids. But you know, that same thing where I'm trying to convey the gospel to a 7-year-old and in simple terms, and as you're like trying to get it like communicated in a way that they can understand, it's almost like you're realizing it for yourself. And I mean, it's challenging. It really does challenge your own heart as you're, because I think you're almost like looking in a mirror and thinking, like, does my life match up with, like, do I believe what I'm asking them to believe? Do I trust in Jesus like I think that they should?
Yeah. Yeah, it almost functions in that way. Like, I think of biblical counseling. There have been a few times where I've told someone, like, yeah, I have counseling tomorrow. And they've said something like, oh, like, are you getting counseling or are you counseling someone else? And it's almost like it's the same. It's exactly the same, because there's nothing that's helped our marriage more than doing marriage counseling for others, because you're listening to yourself say the things and you're like, oh, man.
That's so good.
That's
good. That's for me.
Yeah, if it's really biblical, and same with the gospel, is you're hearing yourself say that. But you do touch on that point of, you know, one of those things that are a hold up for sharing the gospel is when you don't feel particularly spiritual, or you don't feel like you're in a season where you're just grasping the gospel and waking up amazed every day at it, which is the ideal. But when you're not there, then you feel like you got to wait for that season to share. And I think a fear is if you don't, if you are struggling yourself and you try to go share the gospel with someone else, it almost feels like hypocrisy. Like, if I'm all depressed and struggling over here, and I go tell someone, you can have joy in Christ, and you're like, wait a minute. Wait, hold up. Physician, heal yourself. So how would you counsel someone who they do want to share the gospel, but they're being held back because they feel like there's a hypocrisy there because they're not feeling especially spiritual?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you'll never. Like, when will you fully grasp the gospel?
Yeah.
When will you fully feel spiritual enough? When?
Heaven, but now there's no one to share it with.
Right?
Everyone knows it.
I mean, really, though, because I think that really is a hesitation for people. But I think that the reason that it's good for us, like, why we evangelize for us, is because we are hypocrites. Like, our lives do not match up to what it should be. I mean, if we're all really honest, if we all are gonna, you know, there are just times where you know, you have thoughts in your head that are even a little bit scary for yourself, because, you know, you have those quiet thoughts sometimes and you think, how can I share the gospel if I just thought, like, does it even matter? Or is there even a God? Like, in the quiet of your own mind sometimes. I mean, I remember, like, a couple of months ago, I was just kind of in a season of, you know, with a newborn. And you're not sleeping, and it's just hard. It was a hard summer with all the kids at home. And I took Judah upstairs to put him in his bed. And normally I pray for him, and then I put him in there. And I remember thinking as I was going up there, like, do I want the gospel for him? Do I want him to know God? Really? What difference would that make in his life? And I felt very uncomfortable with those thoughts. But, I mean, what do you do with that? Do you just leave it and, like, walk away? Do you feel embarrassed because you're a Christian? You shouldn't think those things, obviously. I mean, we know all the right answers. But I think that's part of, you know, we don't fully understand the gospel. We don't fully grasp it the way that we should, and we won't. And that's why we share the gospel, so that we can be continually confronted by our own doubts, by our own fears, by our own insecurities in the gospel, or, you know, with our own sin, even. Like, when you're sharing the gospel and you're struggling in a particular area with sin, does that cause you to want to repent of it? Because you realize, wow, the gospel really is so good. It really is. I can be forgiven of even that. I can be transformed. Me, even me, right now, as I am, God can do that in me. So I think, you know, if you feel like a hypocrite, you feel like you haven't fully grasped it, then you're the perfect person to share the gospel. And if for nobody else, share it for yourself. Share it till you grasp a little bit more of the gospel. Share it till your heart is warmed a little bit more by the gospel.
I mean, that is kind of the beauty of the message of the gospel. That's easy to forget, especially with evangelism, because if you do evangelism in Christian circles, there's some credit, you know, there's a sense which people are like, yeah, whoa, you do evangelism, like, dude, and or dudette. It's like, wow, you're a real spiritual Christian. And so it's weird because evangelizing can take on an aura of pride. But when you're actually evangelizing, the help is the message itself is very humbling and hopeful, because you're telling, you know, yeah, even as you're thinking through your own objections, like, oh, I'm not spiritual, I'm tired, and I'm not spiritual, and I'm not. And you're telling someone as you think those things.
Yeah.
Listen, even if you're not spiritual and you're tired and you're a sinner, if you're a sinner, Christ loves sinners. You can go to him. And they're like, yeah, no, I can't go to him. You're like, yes, you can, no matter what it is.
Yeah, you don't clean up your life.
Are you a hypocrite? Go right to him, you know. And that, in a sense, is the kind
you
of
too.
Yeah, protective measure within sharing the gospel itself, even though we can get proud. Mm-hmm. But that humbles you, and you have to remember that you're sharing the gospel, and it's a gospel that applies to you as well as you're sharing it. I mean, it's that analogy of you're a beggar who found bread, mm-hmm, telling other beggars where the bread is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like a bread distributor, you know, with your suit and tie, and I've made this bread for you.
Perhaps you're not understanding or fully grasping the gospel.
It would appear.
You know? So, I mean,
it's true. That's an easy temptation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one other question I have. So here we're saying, okay, if you struggle to share the gospel, you're waiting till you're spiritual. Don't wait. Share the gospel. That in itself will be helpful. You'll hear it as, mm-hmm, you share it. But I'm thinking about, since you're on here, those who are in a circumstance kind of like yours, where you had originally planned to be a missionary to an unreached people group. You'd planned for that. You'd prepared for that. And then the Lord called you to be a mother of 5 young children in Evansville, Indiana, pastor's wife, stateside. So that was not the plan. That was not the plan. But it's where God, yep, has you.
Praise God.
Yeah. And so one of the things about your circumstance now is that the opportunities for sharing the gospel just look different. Mm-hmm. There are not as many. They're not as easy with 5 kids at your heels grabbing at you. So it's not easy. There are not as many opportunities to have in-depth conversations about the gospel with anybody. And so for someone who finds themselves in a circumstance that is like yours, how can they make sure, even with far fewer opportunities, that they are not stagnating by not sharing the gospel? How can they make sure that they are sharing the gospel, mm-hmm. speaking it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is to develop a way of thinking where you are looking for opportunities to share the gospel, and being okay with if you don't have that perfect opportunity, just being okay with and thankful for any opportunity to share any kind of spiritual nugget, like even just like a little bit of the gospel. Obviously, you always want to share the full gospel, and sometimes you'll have that opportunity, and then sometimes you won't. So just thinking for how do you ask a question that will turn this conversation to the heart, to where you can share a little bit of the heart of Christ for sinners. How do you talk about sin? For me, I'm disciplining children a lot, so I have opportunities to talk about sin, what God thinks about sin, to talk about the gospel, how Jesus pays for our sin, how we can trust in him to forgive us for our sin. I have opportunities with my children a lot. If I can develop a way of thinking to turn it from just merely discipline because you're disobeying and get you to do the right thing now, and or when my child's struggling with something at school or struggling with conflict with other children, how to use conflict with other children as an opportunity to talk about how Jesus reconciles us. How, like, and you don't use those big words with kids, but if you can develop just a palette and a way of thinking where you can turn just everyday things to spiritual things, that is a great help. And then I also think if you are a person who desires to share the gospel with people and really loves to do that, and then you're in an opportunity or you're in a season of life where you don't have the opportunity, I think you can really fight to believe the truth of the gospel for yourself. You sharing the gospel doesn't make God love you more. You being able to see someone come to Christ doesn't earn anything in God's eyes. Like, that is the gospel. So why do we share the gospel? Because we love people. So if God doesn't give you opportunity to share the gospel with people, you can trust God that he knows what he's doing. He's put you in a certain season for a particular reason. And then you can be faithful with whatever opportunities you're given in whatever circumstance you're given, because you trust God knows. God knows. He knows your heart to share the gospel. He knows that you would love to interact with adults and have adult conversations more. You know, if you were in that circumstance, obviously.
Theoretically.
Yeah, very theoretical. But, like, God knows that, and he cares about you. So God's doing something even in this season for me where I'm learning to be very thankful and to really love having those conversations with our kids. And I can't say that I did before. I found a lot more value in sharing the gospel with an adult than in sharing the gospel with my children. And I know that's wrong. I know all the biblical reasons, and, you know, but, like, deep down in my heart, that's what it was. And I just had a conversation with Felicity in the car the other day, actually, about trusting in Jesus and what does that actually mean. And she said, how can I know if I did that? And, you know, that was actually a very hard question. Yeah. And so, like, that's a good opportunity. I mean, even for me, like, thinking through what does it actually mean for a kid to trust in Jesus? And God really cares about you wrestling through things like that. Like, I told her, you trust in Jesus, the best thing happens. Jesus takes out your heart of stone. He gives you a heart of flesh. And then you want to do the right thing. You want to obey. You want to please God. That's like the best thing ever, because you want to do what he wants. And you're not just fighting yourself all the time. And she's like, oh, okay. And that was the, and it wasn't anything like super crazy, but I walked away from that like so encouraged, because it reminded me, wow, like God did that in me. That is amazing. That's why I want to share the gospel. That's why I want to fight my sin. That's because God changed my heart. So, it's not always glamorous. It doesn't always end in like,
not making any movies about that.
Yeah. She wasn't even that impressed by that. So.
Yeah, it's so interesting, because obviously, whatever our season, we're always looking for opportunities with people. I mean, we have our neighbor, Larry, who we love. Mm-hmm. And, we're always looking for how can we share with him. But there's also a piece of it where in the providence of God, you don't have full control. Like, you can't just decide, I want in-depth gospel conversations each day, because you just have 5 kids.
Yeah.
It's not an option, really. So there are things you can do to try to befriend other moms, but some of that is outside your control. Mm-hmm. I liked what you said even before we started this podcast. You were talking more about just a mindset of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about it and it comes out naturally in conversation. And I thought, you know what? That's true, because I heard you share the gospel this week. I don't know if you were, do you remember? I heard you literally share the gospel, like central gospel truths this week. Do you remember?
No.
You shared them with me. It was like, remember that? That was maybe 2 days ago. I was just struggling, having a bad day and quite down on myself. And you gave me a hug and you shared gospel truths about being accepted in Christ and so forth. So that kind of speaks to the gospel mindset. I know I'm a believer, but having that gospel mindset, and then when God provides opportunities for friendships, mm-hmm. however you navigate that in the season, those will come out, because that's what you're thinking about anyways. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Michaela, my wife, for being on this podcast very much.
No problem.
And for hugging me and sharing the gospel on bad days.
Well, praise God.
And sharing with Felicity and all the other things you do. Well, you might be listening to this in a similar season where you don't have a ton of opportunity, or it's difficult to have opportunity for in-depth gospel conversation with unbelievers. It may also be that you know the gospel and there are opportunities, but you just haven't been thinking about them and haven't been sharing, and now you're struggling in your own grasp of the gospel and feel like you can't share now. Whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.